The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are predicting episode number 9 of Survivor Season 50. We're getting all of our podcasts out of the way early this week. We had Christina Mills on earlier today. I had Stephen Fish back yesterday. And tonight, I have Philip Solomon from Deal or No Deal Island. His connections to the Survivor community keep running deep as I keep seeing him at the Ron Clark Academy over and over and over again. And today, we are going to be predicting episode number 9, getting into the prop bet game. Again, for all of those who are playing the prop bet game, the winner of this game will get a custom Pop Funko from Todd Herzog. And we are now at 9 episodes in, so you don't have much time left. So you're probably not going to make up if you're starting now. But for those who are in the lead, make sure you keep submitting your answers. Otherwise, you're going to come just close and lose. Philip, how you doing?
Good. We are showing up melanated, caffeinated, ready to do it.
I love it. I mean, I hit you up this morning because as some people in the chat are saying, what happened to Tommy Smokes? Tommy Smokes was planned, and then Tommy Smokes had something come up and he wasn't able to make it. And I was like, Philip, I'm desperate. Help me. And you were like, I'm in. And then you were like, oh, wait. Actually, you were like, I don't know if I can pull this off.
We survived it. We got through it. We're here together, Hill and Phil, making it happen.
We're making it happen. And that's all that matters. So if you guys are wondering, is it fun to be a podcaster? Sure. Yeah, it's so fun to be a podcaster. We make it all happen today. And I was like, oh, man, we got to make this happen. And it did. And we're here. And we're going to break it down. Philip, you were at the Blood Moon. You were there. You stood there. You witnessed the murder. You didn't report it. You just let it happen, just like all the rest of us, unfortunately. How are you feeling about what you're watching so far? I know I've had you on for the last couple of seasons. How are you feeling about this so far?
I think that season 50 as a whole has really given us some new... I feel like the stories are pretty old. We're kind of used to them, the rivalries, the power dynamics. But I think what it's really done is also kind of allowed us as viewers to take a step outside of it and look at the show. What's working? What's not working? Are producers too heavy-handed with it? What happens if we just let the players play? We're seeing a lot of things that we love and things that we do not love. And let's start it on a positive note. What I really do love is that we don't have to spend episodes number 1 through 3 or 4 being like, my name is blank. I do this job. This is what, like, we just got to jump right in. Even from episode 1, seeing Coach and Ozzy just like pick it back up where they start. Like, we get to just go past that and really just jump into strategy, which is great. I think that we are also seeing things that we're not loving, the Zach Brown of it all, the spear fishing could have done without, Jeff doing a rap could have done without. There's a lot of things in here that I'm like, you thought we wanted this. We did not want this. The idols, but the Billy, nothing makes me happier than seeing anyone over 40 years old have to look into the camera and talk about the Billie Eilish boomerang. Hilarious every single time it hits. So I think it really does give us a nice little switch up. I think this will hopefully clear out a lot of the heavy-handed Survivor tropes that we're used to seeing. Maybe for 50 through 60, we get the new era, which kind of looks more like the old era. I'll take that, sure. But I do think it really is giving us some great things as viewers and some new things to also hold on to as well.
I'm hoping that, you know, at the end of the year, when all is said and done, you know, they're doing the live reunion this year. So they'll have the red carpet and they'll have all of that. And I hope Jeff walks in. I hope that Jeff, I know those are supposed to be like fun. What's going on? How's everybody doing? Congratulations. But I do hope that instead of asking Jeff what he's wearing, I hope that they ask Jeff, is there anything this season that makes you reevaluate what you're looking for the next 10 seasons? Like, do you feel you went too far on anything? Do you think you didn't go far enough on something? Do you think that returning players and the success that it's had this season makes you want to do more returning player stuff? I hope that somebody asks Jeff that question more succinctly than I did, because Jeff's going to be like, yo, you had 15 seconds and you just used it all on your question. But I would be curious where Jeff truly stands right now, because that's not him having to say, I didn't like this twist. I didn't like this advantage. That's also not him just having to be like, everything is great. I would like to hear if there has been that discussion of, you know, there are some things that we think we can push a little bit further. There's some things that we're probably going to pull back. I would just like to know that. And I don't know if he'd answer it truthfully in the moment, but that's what I'm wondering, because I do feel like we dropped the 4, we kept the 1 for 41. I feel like there's a way to drop the 5, but like keep Survivor going into 51.
So I think that as someone who listens to the On Fire podcast weekly. That's what really makes me love Jeff and be interested in Jeff.
He's not doing it this year, right?
So he's not doing it this season, which arguably we needed it more this season than ever, because he talks through why they decided to do certain things along the way, what the challenge looked like before, how that all came to fruition. This year, more than ever, we needed him to be like, so listen, we've always had this idea of eliminating two people on the same night or three or whatever else. And we figured this would be the right time. Like, I want to actually get his insight on this season. And he specifically left this one out. And I don't know why. I think it, what I don't want to believe is that it would actually mean that he would have to admit that a lot of these things were not in the hands of the fans. I think we can all admit the questions that were asked of the fans were general and weird and still let him do whatever he wanted to. Yeah. Example, do you like twists? Sure. Yeah. You voted for this. No, we didn't. That's not what I think you have to be a little bit more specific. Do you want idols or not? We said yes. And they went Billie Eilish Boomerang. And we were no, that was not what we meant. Yeah. And so I think by asking these big general questions, it allowed them to still do whatever they wanted to and then kind of blame us for it, which is weird.
Well, and that's a really good point. I don't know if I've heard anybody else say that. I haven't looked too much into the On Fire podcast and why it didn't end up being for this season, but I think that's a really good point, because that is the podcast of production, right? It is the behind the scenes look of production. And if they start saying, well, we've had this idea forever, then it's peeling back the, well, this isn't in the hands of the fans. However, and I don't mean this is going to sound like mean, but at the end of the day, people are going to listen to Jeff and be like, wow, that is a good point. And it still is in my hands. Like, most of a casual audience, anybody who's going to be listening to that podcast and also watching the show and also voting, and like, maybe just that's the extent of their world. They're not listening to RHAP even or Tyson. Like, that's it. That's going to be good enough for them. And they're probably going to eat that up. And I think that, you know, we see that all the time in our society. Like, that's not a rare thing. And so I do wonder if that was the reason or if there was more to it, because every time I hear, what was that number? 63%. I'm like, Jeff, 63% of people said they like something. That doesn't mean that they want the worst version of that thing. Now, I think last week's twist was a really good twist, and I'm happy that they took the chance on that, because I thought that was going to be really, really stupid. Ended up not being stupid. But you know, we're going into episode number 9. I mean, we're down to 11 people. They've had to get creative with some of the eliminations and stuff. And I'm just curious, like, what is Jeff looking at this season? What kind of reaction? What is he saying? Got to bring that back for 51. And what's going to go to the way of the fire tokens and just never come back again?
Ooh, so
throw this one up?
The half of us voted for twist. Yes, which could be, there was a lot of twistiness. I think that these twists are not, this is not it. This is not what we voted for. And just the idea of a twist is such a general term that I think it's hilarious. The idea, like, it feels like Jeff said, do you guys want a dessert? And we said, yes. And he said, grandma's fruitcake. And we were like, no, we didn't want that dessert. And it really does feel like that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Tanner's immunity out of the exact quote here. Like, barely over half of us voted for twist, which could be interpreted as any level of twistiness. Jeff took that and said, we all voted for maximum level of twistiness. And I actually think that there's something to be said there. Like, if that was 53%, would Jeff have maybe honed it back and said, well, we don't need to go all in? Because that's also the other thing is, like, if 51% of people say something, like, that is technically the majority, but that doesn't mean that everybody wants it to the overwhelming extent. And I think, you know, we'll see what ends up happening as the season progresses. I mean, other than the blood moon, I've been okay with everything. I'm curious what Jeff is going to try to bring back. Will he try to bring back the Billie Eilish Boomerang Idol? Will he try to bring back, and you know, this duo's twist vote out? I'd take that over them splitting into two groups of five, because we've seen the two groups of five so many times over and over and over again. But you know, at the end of the day, the cast is what makes Survivor season after season after season after season. That's why the Outcast twist doesn't ruin Pearl Islands for everybody, and people still consider Pearl Islands one of the best seasons of all time. This cast is delivering, and the cast is there, and that's what's been fun about this season. It's been fun to watch the cast interact and play, and I hope that that's the biggest takeaway from Survivor moving into the 50s is, what do we need to do with casting to make casting better and make it have the same reaction of 50? Because this is not just that we know these people, it's also that you are getting the best archetypes of every archetype. And that's what it needs to be moving forward.
Yeah, I think in reading what I read on Reddit and Twitter and all that other stuff, it's a matter of like, I can only really speak for me. Time number one, cameras and microphones and lights 24 hours a day is jarring. Even for me that has grown up on stage doing musicals and shit like that, like, but like still jarring. And so if I were to ever go back again, you'd see a very different version of me just because I'm already used to that and I'm ready to play now. And yeah. So I think whenever they say, we don't want to bring anyone back, we want this new blood, this new this or new that, you need time number one to get used to the situation and time number two to really play, as far as I'm concerned. So I do think we are seeing some of the people that maybe didn't have a great game time number one. Let's go case in point, Jonathan, who I think didn't start out super strong, but is having a really good game right now. Even in his old game, he was like, I'm a big guy and I pick things up and put them down again. He gave us a one-dimensional edit. And now he knows that he has to play differently if he wants to win. We wouldn't know that if they didn't invite him back again. So I do think it is paying off. The players are coming in with a plan. Even if that plan is not good, it's paying off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, one thing that I really noticed as I watched the returning player seasons, because it wasn't too long ago that I was watching the whole string of the 20s where it was returner after returner after returner, just watched Second Chance. Now I'm watching this season. What you really notice compared to the original seasons, the answers they give in confessionals are astounding to who gets screen time. You hear full sentences. It's not just, yeah, this, yeah, that. It's, let me give you a full, really fleshed out idea, because I know that that's what's going to make TV. That's why Coach gets so many confessionals. That's why Devins and Christian get so many confessionals. That's also, though, why somebody like Genevieve was eating up screen time in the pre-merge despite not going far. She was giving such thorough answers, and that's what the producers want at the end of the day. And so that's something that's really stood out to me. And I think that's why the characters are popping even more on this season. Yes, we know them, but we're also getting to know them on a deeper level. I could have given two craps about Jonathan Young coming into this season. Cool. He was a big, muscular guy. That's it. On this season, I'm going, man, good thing they brought Jonathan back. And I never thought I'd be saying that. And I feel like that is because they're a little bit more seasoned, right? And they're not to the level, and I know you love him, but they're not to the level of the Golden God, pretty much having an acting performance with himself and his Australian Survivor confessionals. But they are playing it up a little bit more than they usually do.
Who I love in real life has nothing to do with who I love on television. Yeah, there you go. See, we do like Jonathan this season. He is probably my two players that are impressing me the most right now, and I never thought I would say this, but here we are, Jonathan and Rizzo, which, like, again, I did not want to subscribe to R-I-Z-G-O-D, Riz God, maybe, but at the same time, I have to take a step outside of it and look at the human psychology of it all. A lot of these players are very much haunted by their how they were perceived on their first season or second season. And now they're trying to half play a game and half appease audiences. I think that although most people believe not seeing your season gives you a disadvantage, I think it gives Rizzo a huge advantage. He hasn't seen himself yet. He doesn't know how people react to him. He doesn't know that people think that he has this overwhelming sense of like bravado and obnoxiousness yet. And what it's doing for him is that it's allowing him to have these organic, real, natural reactions where how he's reacting on the island is how you or I would, where you're like, yo, I'm this guy from New York. And I woke up this morning and I looked to my right and I see Sari, and I look to my left and Ozzy's there. And you're like, that's crazy. And so, like, I think he is giving us a real life experience because he hasn't seen himself yet. And I think that someone like him would be worse once they've seen themselves on television.
I agree. And I think that he's still in La La Land, right? He's still in the honeymoon phase. He's still doing all of that stuff. He hasn't had to have the reality yet. I mean, you know, you think about somebody like Sophie Bellarity who comes back and like now has that experience and isn't getting to play again. You know, at least Savannah and Rizzo got to go back out there again. But now Savannah having to deal with, you know, some of the hate that she's gotten and all that. And she didn't get to last very long in the season. Rizzo's kind of getting to build his legacy a little bit here. I know it's crazy. I think at one point you said he needed a wedgie. I think that's what it was, right? Something like that. So here he is now, and he's in the good graces. I want to throw up this comment from Marcus Ritt, because this is true. I love Jonathan at his first season, and don't let Phil tell you he didn't. He was loving him his first season. Him and Alexa were raving about how awesome and exciting it was with the challenge piece. And I agree with that. However, that is true. I was saying I love the challenge piece aspect. But when you're talking about we need somebody to come back for another season, there's been, in my opinion, there were better versions of Jonathan that have occurred on our screens since Jonathan. I think there were better versions of Jonathan way back in the day. And so I was sitting here saying, Jonathan Young, I don't need to see play Survivor again because I'd rather see David Kinney, as I've talked about numerous times on this podcast. So I can still love Jonathan back in 42. Just didn't think it was going to work out. And I'm sitting here watching it this time. And I'm like, and this is why Survivor should do second chance type seasons, because Kelly Wentworth worked, and who the hell thought Kelly Wentworth would work? She didn't do anything her first season. Now you have Jonathan Young. Why is he working out? Sometimes it just strikes. Sometimes it just happens. So yeah, I'm in on Jonathan Young. I'm in on Rizzo. I've talked about that a lot. Now, one thing I have to ask you though, Philip, as we look forward, because it is a prediction episode, are you in on Jeff competing in a challenge?
No, never, never. I think it's weird. No, I think it's weird. I think that there are certain things where like, there are so many moving pieces. There are certain things that have to stay in place and things that have to stay consistent. And this is one of them. They'll be like, nope, that for me is a hard line. I'm going to be like, absolutely not. When he's like, should I rap? I'm like, nope. Sorry.
I will take him participating in a challenge over rapping any day of the week. And I need that to be very understood. I just need that to be understood.
That is fair, but the he's lucky that episode aired after Black History Month, because I would have written an angry letter. I would have called the NAACP to be outside his door and be like, can you give us that back? Absolutely not.
Never again, Jeff. Never again. Who would have thought Jeff Probst was this close to being canceled for the thing that he thought was going to be the fun thing on the season? He's this and close.
I still enjoyed the rap more than the chicken and waffles? So I actually enjoyed the rap more than that, if that makes sense.
The chicken and waffles. I just do the Vince McMahon meme. Like, that's it. that's me with that. Just, I'm good, you know? God, all right. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious. I had Fish back on Sunday, and we were talking about, you know, what we think this could be. And I had a theory in there, but I'm curious without saying mine, because I don't know if we have the same one. What's your theory on what this is going to be?
I don't have one for the sheer reason that the decisions that production has been making to me as a viewer don't make any sense. They're not enhancing the show. So if they had proven themselves to be trustworthy up until now, I could be like, oh, I know exactly where this is going to go. But now I'm like, this might go nowhere. This might go absolutely nowhere. Very much like the Boomerang Idol, which on paper was great, but it has yet to actually work out how they wanted it to. And I know that they can't predict it, but the issue is sometimes you need things that are going to work 100%. And I don't know if this is going to be one of them.
Well, and I also think like the Boomerang Idol, what probably needed to happen with that, the more I think about it, is the person who gave the Boomerang Idol away, if they got voted out, the Boomerang Idol also should have just been like null and void. Like, you shouldn't get to keep the boomerang. Cause like, if I threw a boomerang, and I'm throwing it to you, but then like you just magically disappear, that thing's still going to come back. Like, agreed. And if I'm not standing there when it comes back, it's just going to land in nothingness. So I do feel like rather than Rizzo and Ozzy getting to keep an idol because the person who gave it to them is out of the game, and now if they get voted now, you know, whatever, I almost feel like maybe to even this out is the boomerang idol could boomerang back to you if the person gets voted out. But then it's only active for as long as the other person is still in the game. So now you're kind of like fighting to keep the other person in the game while, you know, I think that's an interesting dynamic. And that at least lends itself to maybe more opportunities. I mean, they'd probably be fine-tuned more than that, but just more opportunities for that to actually be meaningful. Because at the end of the day, we just watched three people get handed idols. Aubrey's is out, but two people just have idols. Like, there's nothing.
I mean, I'm with you. I think a lot of these things were great when they started, but we just like didn't see the idea through and be like, okay, wait, but like, how can we really ensure that we're still going to get entertainment value? Like even Steph LaGrosa holding her arm up for an hour. I was like, what are we doing here? What are we watching? And so in my head as a viewer, I'm like, instead of them telling you that an hour is up, that should be your skill set to tell, very much like Beast Games or Squid Games or one of the games, you have to approximate an hour and you have to be within 5 minutes to have your vote. That's a skill. But this for an hour is not much. And so in turn, I think, like, again, it was good planning, poor execution, that I'm like, we just didn't see these ideas through.
Yeah, no, I totally hear where you're coming from. I know Will, who I podcast with, who worked on the show and did a lot of stuff with challenges. He's like, it's just not that exciting. And this week, we do know there's going to be a journey because it was in the press release. They said that there's a journey and then they're going to read a note to everybody. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going on this week. Jeff's participating in a challenge. There's going to be a journey. Like, there's a bunch going on. We just don't exactly know what all of it's going to mean yet. And I'm hopeful that this will be good because last week's was good, but then the Blood Moon was only 3 weeks ago. And so anything can happen. Anything can happen, but I'm hopeful that this is a very minor thing. Like Stephen Fishback was talking about, there's only so much Jeff can do because Jeff can't be competing against the players too much, because then it's like a standards and practices thing. Is it even legal? Like, I was making the joke, oh, Tiffany dropped out first and everybody who beats Jeff gets like an extra vote. Well, Tiffany drops out first. Jeff's like, oh no, I can't hold on anymore. Now everybody gets an advantage except for Tiffany. That's like Jeff's dream come true, I feel like. So I feel like he can only do so much. And so my thinking is either like the people who beat him get a reward, or like if enough of the team outlasts Jeff, somebody had said maybe it's the rights negotiation. I think there's something to it. And I mean, I'm okay with Jeff competing in the challenge as long as it's not actually like a game breaking thing. That's my biggest thing. And the Blood Moon was game breaking. The other things that they've done this season haven't felt game breaking. So don't let this be game breaking.
Yeah, I think there's definitely standards and practices involved as far as just like, yes, if he really wanted to, even in listening to him on the podcast and doing the show, as long as he has, so on and so forth. If he wanted to, yes, he could very much screw over a player or two, which like someone might raise a red flag and be like, you can't do that. So like, yeah, it gets icky really quickly. I just know from my show, they have a lawyer on site at all times to make sure that everything is above board. That's why, fun fact, in case anyone's always wondering why they draw for spots. So legally they have to. So that if they're doing an endurance challenge or whatever else, like we did during our endurance challenge, it was at 1 p.m. The sun was really shining pretty hot on like half of us, but not all of us equally. But because we drew for random where we were going to stand, that's why we couldn't claim that the show was trying to like screw us over. But like, that's why you have to draw for spots. You have to draw for everything so that they can claim that it is all like random. You might be like, well, can't they just like assign spots? It doesn't actually matter. But like, because of things like high tide, the sun, weird things like that, that they can't control, they always have you draw for where you actually end up.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly when that started in Survivor, but the best example of why this became a thing in Survivor is because of Palau. The final challenge of Palau, the Baba Booey, where Ian, Tom, and Katie were standing on the pole, and then Katie jumped off, and it was just Ian and Tom for hours and hours and hours. Because they couldn't see them, they brought out torches. Like, they brought out floating torches. And when they brought them out, the wind was blowing, so the smoke was hitting Tom Westman in the face, and it wasn't hitting Ian. And Tom Westman said, Jeff, I'm not okay with this. Like, you need to get this out of here. This is ruining my chance at this. I'm having a hard time breathing and it's not hitting him. And this isn't part of the challenge. Like, you guys are going to have to figure out a different way to light it. And Jeff and standards and practices, I was like, yeah, we do have to figure out something else. And that's why you'll actually see like the lights are kind of around them at that challenge. And that was like one of the first examples. And I don't know if it was after that, all of a sudden you start seeing them draw randomly or not, but that was a very big moment in reality TV history because we had seen a challenge go for way longer than they ever expected to the point where they had to adapt on the fly. And then they had players saying, this is unfair while they're still competing in the challenge, and Survivor and stuff doesn't have a choice but to react to that. Because otherwise, if Tom loses that challenge and he says it's because the fire was blowing in his face, I mean, standard practice right there, hearing him make that complaint, or somebody's there making interesting. All the behind the scenes fun, all those things that I love, that I nerd out over, that I don't think a lot of people do, but I think it's fun. So as we go into this week, who are you worried about as we start to progress? Before we get into these questions, who do you have your eye on as being in danger?
I'm worried about Rick Devins, and I don't want to be, but it's just, here's the thing. I think they would be smart to take him out, but as a viewer, he makes good television. You always love a good storyteller, a good narrator. And like, even though we knew where the fake idol was hidden, we were all still surprised last week when he pulled off what he did. So like, for me to surprise me with information I already know, that's a good player right there. Because yeah. I knew, and I was still like, no, he's doing it. And I was like, he's doing it right now. Like, this is it. He had me like hyped up about something I already knew about. And that to me is insane.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Rick Devins is one of the best when it comes to confessionals and all of that stuff. And I think he's one of the best survivors ever had. And it looks like next week's episode is going to be a 2-hour episode. And it looks like it's going to be probably another double boot. So just get me Rick Devins through this one, because then what you're essentially saying is we've gotten Rick Devins to the final 10. We're getting Rick Devins through 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Or at least into 10 episodes, down to at least, you know, what we're going to have final 8 for the last 3 episodes of the show. I'm hoping that we get Rick Devins through this one. I'm hoping we get Christian through this one as well. But I think for me, I think Christian's in a little bit more danger than Devins. We had a question up here earlier about the Sarizard of Oz. Claudia Audio says, do you think there's any chance anyone tries to break up the Wizard of Oz alliance this week?
Oddly enough, I don't think it's so weird to me that even that we get to look at Rizzo, Suri, and Ozzy, and somehow they're not the biggest fish to fry right now. That seems so odd to me that if you would have said it before this season, I'd be like, impossible. But if you really look at it, they're just kind of chilling, like playing it pretty held back, keeping their cards close to the chest. So like, honestly, I don't think they're in as much danger as they should be on paper.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And I think what's happened is, I think everybody who's left in the game is threatening in their own way. And I know some people will laugh at that, but like, Joe is a threat to be in the final 3. He's a threat to take up somebody's spot. And if Joe figures out the game portion of it, like, Joe is likable enough to get votes. He just has to get the game portion of it down. Jonathan has the Honor and Integrity Alliance over there. Like, that is threatening. Christian can tell a great story. Devins can tell a great story. Steph, Ozzy, Suri, they all have this. We're the OGs. Like, we invented this game and we're still here. Like, we're threatening in that way. Aubrey is threatening based on like her co-wrong game and the fact that if she gets to the end, she's had to overcome a lot on this season. So I think everybody's kind of threatening in their own way, which I think is helping Suri and Ozzy, because right now you could say Suri and Ozzy, it seems really, really, really obvious. But at the same time, maybe it doesn't, because maybe to a lot of people, they just fit into the framework and let's keep them around a little bit longer. At the end of the day, if you're a threat, but you need to be one of my numbers, I need to keep you around until I have the numbers comfortably. And that's my fault for aligning with you if you're going to beat me at the end.
But how long have we kept Suri around too long? Every season she's ever played, we said, we'll take care of her later. And then she's always at the end and we're like, ah, she did it again. And you're like, yep, that's where she thrives. Like, she loves the idea of like, you'll just hold her for later.
Yeah. And she's always, I mean, that's why she's always in 12 or 13 episodes of every season she's in, because except for Heroes versus Villains, because Tom Westman just said, hey, I don't want her here anymore. I'm playing an idol and we need to vote her out of the game because she's way too dangerous. And every season she seems to get by, scrape by, And then the next thing you know, like you, she's sitting there near the end. Now, granted, she hasn't been able to go over to that hump to sit at final three. She's never done that yet, but she's always in the mix. And one of these days, all it takes is just, you know, one lucky moment, or not even lucky, just one moment where it fits her skill set. And Cerise in. People to have never been voted out of Survivor with a majority of votes. That's the trivia category. Go ahead, Suri. You get the first guess. And if you get it right, you win immunity. There you go. It's her. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, everybody's got their one thing that they're good at. And I know Suri hasn't won immunity. Everybody was saying how was it last week was the first time that she's ever actually been immune from a tribal council post-merge.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, we'll see. She's got to have something though. There's got to be something.
Everyone knows that familiar feeling when you just can't answer that one simple question, what's for dinner? Well, thanks to Omaha Steaks, I find myself in that situation way less frequently. Dinner is handled in minutes when I keep my freezer stocked with restaurant-quality protein from Omaha Steaks. And it's not just tender steaks. We're talking flavorful burgers, chicken, seafood, sides, and even desserts, all delivered directly to my door. So whether it's a rushed weeknight evening or a Saturday night cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. And let me fill you in on a little secret I've been using the past few years. Omaha Steaks proteins aren't just great to have in your own fridge. They also make fantastic gifts. When my dad's birthday comes around, I'll gift him one of the many options of steak packs, and it's an instant win-win. One year I got him the complete cookout collection, which is perfect because he enjoys grilling up everyone a great meal, and I make sure I'm there to celebrate with him, so I get a fantastic steak dinner myself. Win-win. Feel free to use that one. And I want to clarify something for any skeptics out there. Yes, frozen delivery can be this good. Omaha Steaks is known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. Shipped nationwide and arrives frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal effort and time. No last-minute runs to the store. They can't match the quality Omaha spent generations perfecting. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of meat. We got filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers, each with their own different flavor and style. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. This isn't some rinky-dinky discount. That's $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter are about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of wilderness thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal's Service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold. Let's do some of these questions because it'll bring up some talking points, I feel, as we go through. So first one is easy. Not easy, but the first one is an easy one. Who will say Jeff on this episode?
Jeff or Mr. Jeff?
Mr. Jeff counts. The word Jeff just has to be spoken.
Then definitely Probst Jonathan. Doesn't
count. You're on Jonathan.
Definitely Jonathan.
What's been tough about this season, I was saying this to Gordon Holmes, who I had on last week. I was saying that, like, doing this prop bet game, I thought it'd be easy, 10 questions each week. But they've played it a little bit closer to the chest with, like, what is actually happening in every episode. And since it's not normal idols, since it's not a journey every week, it's been a little bit harder to come up with some of these. So this one might be an easy one. This might be kind of like a throwaway, a giveaway. Every now and then I've had, like, one question that goes in there that's just really basic. I'm going Ozzy on this one. Because Ozzy was the one who's kind of hyping up Jeff in the challenge, saying you got to dig deep, you got to dig deep. I don't think he says Jeff, but he is saying you got to dig deep. And I know he's talking to Jeff, so I'm going to go with Ozzy for this. And if that's the easy one, good, because the rest of them I don't think are necessarily going to be easy.
That's fair. Agree.
So who will win immunity? Now, I'm under the assumption that this challenge Jeff is participating in isn't also for immunity. I feel like it's got to be for reward or to go to journey or something. So we don't know what the immunity challenge looks like this week.
Yeah. Immunity, I want to say Christian. I think what he has proven is that he can perform when his back is up against the wall. And we've seen a lot of endurance challenges right around this time because it's the right number of them from a production standpoint to give them the visual they want. Mm-hmm. Like if you think back to the thing that they had for Applebee's, there were too many people standing there. We missed some eliminations along the way or whatever. Like right now is the perfect time for like a nice wide shot on the ocean and they're all like up on something. And you're like, yep, cool, great. And I think that Christian has the right body type to do these endurance challenges well, because you don't necessarily want to be a Jonathan or a Joe because you're a lot to hold up. You just are. And so I think we even saw that a lot this season on Australian Survivor, where it came down to like a lot of those guys were too big for the endurance challenges. And that's where Caleb got to thrive. And so for me, Christian is agile enough and strong enough for his general weight and size that I think he has a good shot.
See, now I'm going in the same alliance, but I'm going to the opposite end of it. And I'm going Rick Devins. I am. And I think people forget Rick Devins won 4 immunity challenges on his season. Plus he won the challenge to get back in from the edge. And so he has a good skill set. Like he has a wide array of talents and he's a little bit older, but he's still got it. And I'm hoping that it's not like, hey, stand on this perch that's a quarter of an inch thick, because then Rick Devins isn't winning that. Okay, we all know that.
Agreed. Yes.
But I do kind of hear what you're saying with Christian. I think Devins is one of those guys who just has that ability to dig deep. He has that just, why does he have that skill set? Why is he good at certain things? And then he just is. And so I'm going to go with Rick Devins here. Rick Devins feels like his back's against the wall. The community's talking about how his back's against the wall. A lot of people in the community are talking about how they think Devins might have gone a little too early here with the idol. I think that he's going to find a way to get out of this, because Rick Devins always finds a way to get out of it. And I think it's going to happen again this week. Now, next week with a double boot, I'm scared. But yeah. I think he's going to get through this week, and I'm hoping he gets through this week, because I need my preseason winner pick to at least make top 10. That's really what it comes down to. That's the most important thing. So assuming that the other challenge isn't for immunity, we don't know what it's going to be, so I'm not going to say who's going to win that challenge, but I'm going to say who will outlast Jeff in the challenge. So I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of people who are going to outlast him, because it seems like maybe the challenge will go on beyond him. At some point, Jeff's going to drop. Jeff's not going to win, okay? It's not going to happen. Who's going to outlast Jeff in the challenge that they are participating in? I go to Philip first every time, by the way, guys. And I just want everybody to know that Philip has a long pause and he's like staring. He's like, oh God, now I have to answer this one too. So I'm going to Philip first.
Jonathan. I think that Jonathan is a very polite gentleman, but he also has a sense of ego about him that I don't know if he's going to let Jeff. Like, I think he's going to be motivated by the idea of I outlasted Jeff, if that makes sense.
I like that. I'm going with the other big guy, and I'm going with Joe. We're just going the opposites here, but like same thought process.
Yeah.
The thing that I like about Joe here is a lot of the challenges on 48 were like, how good are your biceps and triceps? Like, how good are you at that? That was a lot of the challenges. And Joe won all of those, pretty much all of those. And this is the hold your weight up. You know, it's a grip challenge, but not really. And I actually think Joe won this on his season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
He did.
This is the one that came down to him and David, I believe. So, yeah.
Then that one was because the one that David lost was the underarm curl one where he had to hold the ball up in the thing and it fell off and it slid down. Whatever it was, though, whether he beat David or lost to David, whatever it was, on this one, he definitely competed in this and he definitely did really well. And I know that this is going to be percentage of body weight and all of that. I know he's going to be holding up a higher amount of weight. He's probably lost a little bit more weight than some of the people out there. But at the end of the day, he's got the upper body strength. Jeff is what, 65 years old, 64 years old. Like, if you can't beat Jeff in this challenge, Joe, Kyle Frazier needs to give back his immunity or his survivor win. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you are talking to an overhand endurance challenge champion currently. So the thing is,
well, so what's the skill set? How do you prep for that challenge? Is it all grip?
Yes. It's less about your arms. And for me, I have a really strong back. So I rolled my shoulders back and held all my weight back there instead of like, because you can hang on way longer back there than you can using everything up here. And that was what I was doing physically. And mentally, I was singing the Broadway score of Rent. I made it through halfway of Act One before I looked around and no one was there anymore. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
And your dog's not there anymore either, Philip. I don't know.
Nope.
Yep, gone. Stole your moment there. But yeah, no. So I feel like this just fits for Joe. And like, Joe is a guy who clearly works out a lot. He probably knows the things you're talking about. I'd be sitting there being like, if I use all my forearm strength, that'll be good, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Easy. And then I won't be able to like make a fist. This is as much as I'll be able to get for the rest of the week.
Forever.
That's it. That's it. Just scary cat claws when I'm trying to punch somebody. But yeah, I feel like Joe is in a good position here. I feel like I'd actually give Joe the advantage over Jonathan here, which might surprise some people, but I think Jonathan's carrying a lot more weight. I know you've met Joe now at least once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not as big as you would think he is. Like, he's a muscular guy, but he's probably what, 6 foot? 6'1"?
Yeah.
Not that tall. Mm-hmm. Jonathan's huge.
Yeah, I have a picture with him. We are closer in body type than you would imagine, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that helps, you know, with the cast he was on, David was the tall guy on that season. But like, David, when I'm near him, I'm looking up at David. When I'm near Joe, I feel like, you know, we're close to eye at least.
Yeah.
David just got engaged, by the way. I just wanted to say.
I saw that.
So I know. I didn't know. Happy for him. Good for him. He'll be an airline pilot who's engaged. He got everything he wanted out of Survivor without the lady he was talking about on Survivor.
I was going to say, honestly, thank God he's not still with that woman that was like, you're the worst. And he's like, I think she loves me. And we were like, no. I think she loves me. That's probably not a great relationship for you.
I always make the comparison of him to Gaston. It's like, Gaston, if she's not talking to you, that doesn't mean she likes you. You know, she's singing a song about not liking you. That's happening in front of your face. How do you not see it? Oh, yeah. St. Clippo with a good point. I take Joe because he ate a bunch of spaghetti the day before and is fueled up again. That's a great point, too. That's a great point. Yeah. And this was the one that St. David won this over Joe, by the way. He was flexing and everything afterwards. So at least he's humble and engaged. You know, I love David. I honestly do. So, all right. Next one. Who will be the first person out of the challenge Jeff participates in? Now, I'm not counting people who sit out. So if you sit out of the challenge, you're eliminated from contention for this. You have to actually participate, be the first person out. I mean, I feel like we should do like a 1, 2, 3 on this. I feel like it should be, are we going to be in unison on this? Starts with the C, ends in an Ari.
Yep. Yeah. Three, and then maybe Emily. And I don't even think it's on purpose. I think she just like saw a fly or a cloud that looked nice. And was like it just feels like Emily's there to make good TV instead of actually win. And I don't hate that. Want to know why? Because she's made good TV every episode. So, okay, Emily, sure.
And you know what the funny part is about somebody like Emily? Because I always say, I want my Survivor players who can win, but then you also need to have characters. Emily does fit into both of those more than I think people realize. It's just she has to be with the right group to win. She's not the person who can be, I'm going to win 9 out of 10 times I sit a final tribal, but she could win if she's with the right group. Like there's like Abby Maria can't win Survivor. She can't do it. It's not going to happen. Emily can win Survivor because Emily is likable enough, but Emily's really bad at challenges. Emily's actually a really good answer for this one, but I am going to go with Ceree just because like, I don't know. Ceree's not eating. She just had to do the coconut challenge. She's in her 50s. Like Emily, come on.
I have to tell you about my Ron Clark Ubers. I went to the event and we all just kind of like met up randomly outside and we have this like weird, oh, you're in reality. So we're like in the same car, but we don't know each other. On the way there, it was me, Andrea Bulkey, Aubrey, and Emily. And I was like, this is my dream. And I just got to like talk to them about anything. And they were so cool and so down to earth. And then you know who I went home with? Steph LaGrossa and Rachel Riley. I was like, this is the best day of my life. Like, this is insane. The Ubers alone made the trip worthwhile.
Yeah. No, I've met all of them. The only one I haven't met is Rachel. But I talked to Steph a lot that night. I like Steph a lot. Love Aubrey. Have met her a couple times. Andrea Belkey, I don't think would remember me, but I've met her a bunch of times. And she's like, she was really good friends with one of my close friends when I lived out in LA. So I'd go to a bunch of stuff that she was at all of the time. And who was the other one you said?
Emily.
Emily. Oh yeah. Emily's the best. Emily can't do a puzzle, oh, cool. But she's the best. Yeah. So yeah, there's your Ubers. And Phillip's just sitting there like, wow, this is fun. And where was Parv during? Oh, Parv took the limo. That's what it was.
She came with her dad and she came like slightly late because she loves to make an entrance and you know that.
Yeah. I mean, she had the video guy behind her when she came out at Ron Clark.
I mean,
she has to. Was her dad? So that's crazy. Her dad was on Cook Islands. I don't think he ever did another family visit, right? Cook Islands was the only one.
That was it.
Wow. Interesting. All right. Moving on to the next question. Let's see. What's the next one? I got to pull it up on my phone because my computer is going to blow up. It already froze once on me while you were talking. So who will cast the deciding vote this week? The vote Jeff reads when he says blank person voted out. Who do you think is casting it?
Ooh.
There's that.
That's a hard one. I think it's going to all come down to that Rizzo, Ceree, Ozzy alliance and where they want to go. So I think it's going to end up being those three. Because if you really look at it, they're just kind of keeping to themselves, but they're not really playing for one side or the other. So I think whoever is going to go home is going to be up to those three.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick Rizzo before you can then.
Done.
I'm going to take Rizzo because I want to have Rizzo as my guy here. I don't know if they'll show his vote last, but I do feel like they're going to show either Rizzo, Ceree, or Ozzy's last. And I've already picked Ceree and Ozzy for other stuff. So let me take Rizzo here and give Rizzo something. So are you also saying Rizzo? Is that what's in your head?
Yes, because I think the producer, like you can tell who the producers really enjoy. And I think that like, because they get random camera time for anything, they get really good confessionals. They get the music, the scoring behind the confessionals that they're like, oh, they love you. And I think that they just give Rizzo the time to be Rizzo. So I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rizzo is the potential star of the remainder of like the 50s. Like just so mm-hmm. everybody's aware of that. Like Rizzo is kind of being hyped up as that guy. Okay. War Wizard Rawl wants to know, Mr. Phil, do you think that if Ozzy and Ceree are in the final four and Ozzy wins immunity, would he take Ceree to the final three? Now, I don't know who Mr. Phil is, so I'm going to say it's you because you're wearing.
No, it's you. It's definitely you.
I don't think Ozzy would do that. Maybe Ozzy would because he wants to like change how people perceive him. But this is a guy who finished second place by one vote his first time out. He wins South Pacific if he doesn't lose the final immunity. Could he really be okay with himself doing this for a third time, getting this close to winning and then losing? He knows he loses against Ceree. Like everybody knows yes. they lose against this against Ceree. Her social game is incredible. I don't think he takes her.
I don't either. But again, he's made a lot of the same mistakes. And I don't even just mean like this season. I mean, like every time he comes back, he's like, I'm not going to And then fast forward, and you're like, he did it. And so, like, I don't know. I'm going to say he's not going to, but, like, still. Oh, God, I hope not.
The next one is, who will have the most confessionals this week? Coach is out, so Coach can't be the answer, guys. I know he didn't have the most in many episodes. I think in two of them. But, you know, just saying, Coach can't be the answer finally.
My answer is either Jonathan or Aubrey. I think that right now we're at kind of a crossroads in the game. And the first half of the season, I think you spend a lot of your confessionals on the people that have a plan and they have an idea. And then the producers want to like follow that through the episode. At this point in the season, now your confessionals are the people that are on the line that are like, do I want to do this or do this? Because that is going to be what holds us in as a viewer. The idea of like, this decision is significant because this is going to decide where the episode goes. So now I think the same way that it would be weird episode 1, 2, and 3 to like be talking to people in the middle that don't really go either way. Cause you're like, then well, why does it matter what you think? But now with the numbers being what they are, they're going to need people that are going to want to jump ship or do something weird or random or new.
I'm going to go with Christian. I hear where you're coming from on this. I think it makes sense. I'm worried that this might be the end for Christian. I did have him last in my power rankings. I also think we're going to get a lot of confessionals from Christian about Rick Devens picking up the idol. Fair. And I think that Rick Devens will get some confessionals too, but I think Christian's going to get a lot because there's going to be a lot of, I don't know if he should have done that, or that was a great move by Devens or whatever it is. And I think Christian is a confessional machine. And I think that he will get the same treatment as Coach in his send-off episode. Meaning, yes, when he goes, he's going to get plenty of screen time. And Coach got a lot of screen time the week before he went home. He got a lot of screen time.
One could say too much. Too much screen time.
No, you can't say that. You can't say that, Philip. That's incorrect. It's not true. I will not take any Coach slander here. We are only pro Coach. We're going to change our names to the Coachalists.
Listen, write a haiku about it. I don't care. I can't.
How does Philip Solomon? That's 5. You're a line yourself. I'm just saying. If anybody wants to write a love haiku to Philip Solomon, his name is the first line. Now you just have to come up with the next two.
That's my nickname, the human haiku.
The human haiku. Oh, my God. I don't think that's his nickname, but if it is, that's a crazy nickname to have.
It's not.
I was convinced for a second because I'm like, that's just too random. But there's no such thing as too much, Coach. No such thing. Yeah. Who's going on a journey? So we know there's going to be one this week because somebody's coming back and reading something based on the press release. Who do you think it's going to be?
Emily. This is going to sound weird, but for the same reason that they keep telling Emily the secrets, everyone seems to somehow trust her. And I don't know why, because literally they go, don't tell anybody. And she goes, okay, here's what I just heard. And I'm like, God. And yet they keep going back to her. So what I think is they don't want to send a Rick Devens. They don't want to send a Jonathan. Like, those people are playing too hard. They want to make sure that they send someone that's like a safe choice, that when they come back, will be willing to share that information. So I think it's going to be Emily.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll know that the information needs to be shared. Because, like, maybe they will, maybe they won't. I mean, like, last week, they knew they were splitting up into pairs, but they didn't know exactly why. Maybe it'll be like, hey, somebody's going to go and they're going to do something. I like Emily here. I'm actually going to go with Aubrey, as weird as that is. Because Aubrey doesn't really fit into any of the groups. I think at this point, like, she's a nerd adjacent person, but she's not Christian or Devens. She's not Jonathan, Steph, or Joe. She's not Sari, Ozzy. And I don't think anybody wants Rizzo to go because I don't think anybody really knows what to expect from Rizzo. I think Aubrey's a safe bet. I think Aubrey's really normal. And that's something that this cast doesn't really have, if that makes sense.
And we love her as a viewer, but I don't think she's perceived well in this group right now. I think she is outside of the game, but if you like actually look at it, like, I don't think she's going to be like, I volunteered. I was going to go, I trust her. Sure. Do it. Like, I don't think that is going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Emily makes sense because she does talk a lot, but I just worry that if it is like, we get to choose Emily and Christian and Devens are seen as close. Now maybe Ozzy can make the push for Emily because he has wanted to work with her. We also have Tiffany saying the thing about like flipping, all this different stuff. And that has me worried, but I'm going to stick with Aubrey. I'm going to stick with Aubrey. Who will be the first person Jeff asks a question at Tribal Council?
Rick Devins.
Yeah, that's the answer. I have the same thing. I'm on my phone, by the way, when I'm doing this. So if you're wondering, why does he keep looking down? Rick Devins has to be the answer for this, because Rick Devins, I mean, Jeff has to be, Rick, the last time we were at Tribal Council, you blew things up. And he's going to be like, you're right, I did, Jeff. Like, has to.
But did you see Jeff's reaction to it? Because Jeff wasn't a huge fan either, because you can tell that Jeff has this show like down to a like well-oiled machine. And then even the things that are like a surprise, Jeff still knows about. And like, I don't think he enjoyed the fact that he didn't know about that either. Like, you could see that he was like, that wasn't supposed to happen. And I was like, oh, well, it's our game now. Bye.
And Jeff, I think, like, you know, Jeff obviously sees the dailies. Like, they had the footage of Rick hiding it there.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Jeff, you know, has to, this is something new for him. Like, he has to act here, you know, because if Rick Devins picks that up, Jeff can't say, well, that's not real, you know, right. Or, oh, Devins, like, he has to play that of like smile on his face, but he also can't say that's definitely real because he's never done that about an idol before.
Right.
You know? It's an interesting spot with Jeff. And I think Jeff actually handled that part really, really well. Good for him. I'll say good for him, but it has to be Devins. Jeff's asking Devins right away. Has to be. Who will have their mouth blurred?
Aubrey.
I'm going to go Emily. See, we flipped. We flipped on our Aubrey and Emily's.
I don't know if Emily, like, I don't know if Emily drops the amount of obscenities that I want her to. So yeah. I'm going to go with Aubrey, because I think that Aubrey's visibly frustrated right now in being like, where do I stand with everybody? So I think like that, like, and I feel like all of her reactions are so real and genuine and organic as far as the confessionals are concerned. So I'm going to say probably that.
Yeah. Emily's had some big moments, like to when Christian or Devin say something. And I could see a bleeped mouth if, like, she's talking to Christian or Devins about this idol.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no. And she just curses because that's what she does. So, yeah, I'm curious how Emily's going to end up reacting to everything that took place, because she doesn't seem to think it's real. But then why is she also trying to blow up Rick Devins' spot? She should be working with Devins and Christian, no?
Agree. Mm-hmm. And I think we could also say that if this were a week earlier, that the easy answer would be Dividars, no matter what. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. She's she was killing it there. And then somebody said Steph here. Steph had her first one like 2 weeks ago. Steph really hasn't been blurred mouth a lot this season. All right, last question. Who will say the episode title? The episode title is I Deserve All of This. How do you think that's being taken? Let's ask that first. Do you think that is a literal I deserve all of this in a confessional, or do you think that's a Devin's getting yelled at and he's like, I deserve all of this, like talking about
I was gonna say Devin's negatively. I don't think at this point in the game we can still have that ego, and that's why Coach got voted out.
Yeah.
I don't think you can be like, this is everything, I deserve all of it, like right now. I think right now they're so in the thick of it that we're just reacting to the negative instead of celebrating the positive.
Yeah. Marcus Ritt says, we already know they put it in the promo. And that's the beauty of, if you play this game and you listen to the podcast, people will tell you that it's in the promo. Now that Marcus Ritt hasn't said who it is. I didn't watch the promo. I can never seem to find the promos right. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing these days. I'm just going to go with Tiffany. I don't care. I'm going to do Tiffany, and I'm going to say that's who it is. Who are you saying? Did you see the promo?
I did not. But I want to go with Rick just based on the actions that we just left off with. I think this entire, the first 10 to 15 minutes of this episode is going to be the fallout from that, because people don't like being surprised. What I have learned is that what one thing that the new players are better at versus the returning ones, the new players are pretty much down for whatever because they've never played before. So they think that this level of like surprise is expected. The old players somehow don't like being surprised, which is odd, because they also don't like lying or cheating, even though you're like, you know what you signed up for, right? So like, there's a lot of weird things that they don't enjoy that they should enjoy at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the Devins one there. I think that works. I think people will go at him pretty hard for this. All right, so these aren't actual questions, but the last two things I'll ask you here. I told you, this is always a tight hour. This is like an easy podcast to make sure it's an hour. So here's my last two for you. How does this season become a disaster for you, and what's your best case scenario ending?
The season becomes a disaster. Ooh. Honestly, I don't even know how, because the season is so strong and so good that I'm like, I don't think there's a single thing that could sink it at this point where I would say throw the whole season away. Like, I knew from higher token number one that I was like, throw the whole season away. But like, at this point, we're already more than halfway through that. I'm like, we've gotten so many good moments. Christian has pooped his pants. Like, there's nothing that's going to make this season be like a sinking ship. Absolutely not.
I think that it would, if last week's twist didn't work, you had Blood Moon and last week's twist both be bad, I think that could have done it in. But I think last week's worked out so positively for the show that I think, yes, the character moments can offset any really dumb production twist. I just hope there's not a lot of dumb production twists left.
Even Mr. Beast, hold your horses. We still got Mr. Beast. Don't worry.
I just have to keep taking a deep breath. I just have to keep taking, we'll see. We'll see. And we don't know what's happening with Jimmy Fallon yet. We still don't know what that means.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see. All right. What's your best case scenario?
My best case scenario is that I think for one thing that I would love to see now that I actually watch it consistently, Australian Survivor, the idea of playing a challenge at Tribal. I always think that that is the most interesting thing, where they don't have the hours to scramble and gather votes and stuff like that. Like, I'm like, oh, no, I want you to play it and get a new immunity and have to vote again immediately.
That would be a good way to do a double boot. Do the Tribal, then immediately say, hey, guys, we're going to do another challenge, and they're going right back to Tribal. And they did that in a couple early seasons, and it was always like a trivia question or something like that. But I do think that that's something that they
I want to see that. Was it... the last season where they literally did a Tribal, then they like parted some trees and leaves, and they had a full challenge set up that even they were like, where did that come from? And as a viewer, I was like, where did that come? Like, I want to see it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Who do you want to win?
My personal choice would be Christian or Ceri, because I think that it is a perfect capstone for 50 seasons to be not the person that is a challenge beast or whatever else, but just truly understands social networking. The idea that, like, I want to go back to the term survivor. What does that mean? And I want you to not only be able to survive physically, but mentally, emotionally, and I need you to be able to, like, endure and prove that you're strong, and not strong like what it looks like on some people. I mean, like, strong. And at the end of the day, say, I am the spokesperson, the role model of what strength and surviving really looks like.
I love that. Yeah, that's a great answer there. And is there any new era players that you would be okay with winning, or are you rooting for a pre-40 to pull this out?
I would have said D or Char, like the ones I would have said, I think are already gone. So like, it's hard for me to say, like, I don't think anymore, which is odd, but like, yeah, all of my new era picks are already out. I would have said Kyle, like there were a few, but they're not really there anymore.
Yeah, I feel that too. Genevieve, I feel like the old school boot order has been better than the new school boot order.
Yeah, new school, we took some hits quick. We took some hits.
Yeah, whereas I think the old school, if you would have told people, hey, at Final 11, you're going to have Ozzy, Ceri, you're going to have Rick Devins and Christian, a lot of people would have been like, oh my God, that's a good season. Like, this is great, you know? So
yeah, we have a comment in the chat. I love Tiffany as a person, but the only reason I need her not to win is because the edit would be a true disservice to a winner of season 50. I'll say that. So like, it's one of those where, like, don't get me wrong, it's not that I don't want her to win, but then the edit would be so strange.
And a lot of people point back to Sandra and Heroes versus Villains, but that was kind of the direction that the show had gone for a while there. Like, we had just seen Coach eat up all the screen time in Token Chains. We had just seen Russell eat up all the screen time, and they weren't wins. I know JT got a good edit, but Natalie White was nothing. Yeah. And I think that, you know, Sandra coming out on that season, not having a big role in the pre-merge portion of the game, being more of a passenger, of course they're going to give it to Boston Rob and to, you know, Tyson doesn't get anything, but they give it to Boston Rob. They give it to Coach, people who are out early. And then once they're out, Sandra's game starts to pick up. And I think that's what we're seeing on this season too. It was like, we got to make sure we get the Qs and the Colbys and, you know, all these players who are going to go to the Genevieve's. I mean, Genevieve's edit was really big. All these players who go out early, we got to get more of them. And now we can start to tell the story of some of these other players. And I think somebody like Coach being out definitely opens it up for some other players out there. So, all right, well, what else do you have going on? Anything else that you want to plug before we're out of here?
No, I'm just hanging out, doing my best out here, writing for magazines, doing interviews, doing podcast stuff. I am around. Get in touch with me. Hook me for anything. I'll show up.
There you go. Now you all know. Follow him. Philip Solomon. Go find him. Book him for anything. I need an Austin Powers impersonator for myself, Philip.
Literally, I will do it. Your hamster's wedding, bar, or bat mitzvah, I'm there for it. I will throw on my yarmulke and be on the road.
I love it. I love it. Well, like this video and subscribe to the channel. We got a big week of podcasts coming up. Nothing tomorrow. On Wednesday, Will and I will be recapping at our usual time. Thursday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, I got Sage from last season for Digging Deeper. And then this Sunday, we got Todd Herzog as our Predictions of Power Rankings guest. So big week coming up. Patreon.com/thespecialist. Follow us. We start Second Chance on Thursday. Today was the last episode of Worlds Apart. So if you're looking to get some extra coverage of Survivor, go check that out. We got casting episodes. We're talking about some movies. We got Teg Talks, which are pitches and drafts and all this other stuff. So we have a lot of stuff going on, almost daily content at this point. It's a lot of fun. That was for you, Chew to Man. I hope you know that. That little point that Philip just did was absolutely for you. So like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we will see you all next time.
Bye.